Let's turn to Psalm number 5. We commenced our study on this a few weeks ago, and we want to continue this morning with the Lord's help. Psalm number 5. And it is a prayer of the child of God, a godly response of a man who's in trouble. And therefore, let's come and read this passage together and pray that the Lord will even speak to us through the reading of God's precious word. Psalm number 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hearest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in my fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous, and with favour wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Amen. And with God's word before us, let's pray and seek the face of God. Our eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee for the privilege this morning that is ours to be found in the house of God. We thank thee, O Lord, in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege to draw nigh before thee on the grounds of redemption to make our petitions known unto God. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt come and thou wilt bless us around thy precious word. We believe in the preaching of the word. We believe that the word of God is the power of God unto those who will believe. And we pray, Lord, that you will cause the hearts of men and women today to believe and receive the word of God. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt come and give power in the preaching of thy word, and give instruction in the proclamation of thy word. And we pray, Lord, that we will hear the truth, and the truth will set us free. Oh, Lord, cause us not to err this morning. Cause us to faithfully divide the word of truth. Cause us to hear the voice of God speaking above the voice of man. Cause us, O Lord, to be as Mary commanded us, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And Lord, I pray this morning we will be found obedient to thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for times past when we heard the voice of God, when we were thrilled because we heard the Lord speak to us personally. Oh Lord, come and do it this morning. Lord, we pray that thy word will be written upon our hearts this morning. Lord, you know the need of this congregation. You know the homes that we've come from. You know perhaps personal issues that we can't share with anyone else. But Lord, thou knowest all these things because thou knowest the heart. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless us this morning. Minister unto us. Meet our needs, Lord. We believe that thou can and thou will meet our needs this morning. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And to this end, bless the preaching of thy word. I pray, Lord, you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit and give me the ability to deliver the word that thou hast given to me to the glory of thy name. And in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Last time we commenced by saying that the child of God is no stranger to difficulties. Doesn't seem like a very pleasant thing to think about, but it is reality. And as we realize that the child of God is not immune to sadness or sickness or discouragement or enemies, we realize that there is one who has promised to help us through every single one of these. God desires that his children look to him for help in the time of difficulty. Of course, God desires that his children look to him at all times. But specifically this morning, we're speaking to those who are in difficult circumstances. Circumstances that, humanly speaking, they would not choose. they would not want to have in their lives. But this is the case this morning. You find yourself in a certain circumstance, a certain pathway that you can't get out of, and you need the help of God. You know, there's a great danger sometimes when we face difficulty and trial. Whenever we face the enemy, that the child of God somehow will seek to try and resolve issues themselves. Try and find consolation in the world or in their friends or even in themselves. But God's word always directs us to go to Him. We were thinking this morning in the book of Joshua in the Bible class that God's desire for His children is that they go forward. They go forward. They go forward in good days. They go forward in days of blessing, but also in days of difficulty, they make progress. In days of darkness, they also go forward with the Lord. And we thought of three different things that this passage tells us to do in the day of difficulty. The first one we considered last week, and that's that the child of God ought to pray. The child of God ought to pray. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And then this morning we're going to consider the fact that the child of God ought to follow. And then the next time we look at this passage, we're going to consider the fact, no matter what the circumstances, the child of God ought to praise. And here we are this morning in verse number 8, and this is going to be the focus of our message. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Now, the psalmist has already prayed in the first three verses, and he prays unto the Lord. He prays in faith, believing that God will hear his prayer. But he also prays now that the Lord will lead him. Not only that the Lord will hear and answer, but the Lord will lead him. He is resolved to press on. He is resolved to go through with God. And he asks the Lord to lead him. And oh, the great wisdom in this. You know, last Friday night, the young people sang, or the previous Friday night, the young people sang, I am resolved no longer to linger. Charmed by the world's delights, things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. And then the chorus says, I will hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will follow thee. I wonder this morning, are there God's people who are lingering? Are you caught up with the things of the world? Has your sight been taken off the Savior? Well, here is the prayer that you ought to pray. Lead me, O Lord. Notice the very first thing in this little verse is the fact that he asked the Lord to lead him. Jehovah God, the all-sufficient, eternal, unchanging God, is being prayed to here by someone who knows him personally. His child is praying to his heavenly Father. And you know, the great end of the gospel is that sinful men and women who once were enemies of God are now brought nigh to him through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and have a relationship with him and speak to him. And here is one of the greatest prayers that the child of God can pray. Lead me, O Lord. David knew the Lord as his Savior. He knew the Lord as his friend and as his guide. He was trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Oh yes, he looked forward to it. He was looking forward to the Messiah, to the Redeemer. And you know, that's true religion. Faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith alone in his merit. And while David looked forward, we look back. But whether it's looking forward in the Old Testament or looking back in the New Testament era, there is only one way that people can be blessed spiritually, and that is through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through a personal relationship with the Lord that we can know the true blessing of God. And that word Lord in the capitals, meaning Jehovah, is used five times there in that psalm. And the five things that it's used in relation to remind us that only certain things can be done with a personal relationship with God. The first thing is found there, verse number 1, give ear to my word, O Lord, consider my meditation. And the psalmist asks the Lord to hear his prayer. And he's great confidence in doing this because he has a personal relationship with God. Now, there are many people over this world today, and they pray, they say words to a God or a deity. There are even those who pray to Jehovah God, but not as their Lord and not as their Savior. They say words, but they're not truly engaging in spiritual prayer or spiritual intercession. But if you're saved, this is one of the great privileges. For the psalmist says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. You see, the saved. and his ears are open unto their cry. The child of God has the ear of God. Now, there are many times we want to speak to people, and it's difficult to get them. It's difficult to get them in the right room or get them in the end of the telephone. But you have the ear of God. There is always an audience in heaven who is listening and waiting to hear your prayers because you are his child. And then in verse number 3 it says, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. And we reminded ourselves last week that the word direct means to set in order. And you know, the psalmist wanted to set his life in order to live in a proper manner to please the Lord. And again, we're reminded that only those who have a personal relationship with the Lord can do so. Only those who are saved can set their life aright and please the Lord through their living. The unsaved cannot please the Lord by their lives because even their righteousnesses are some filthy rags. But whenever you're saved and you're walking with the Lord, then you can set your life in order. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can honor the Lord by your life. Verse number 6 then, it says, Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. And here the psalmist is saying that the Lord is the judge. The Lord will give judgment unto the wicked. And you know, that's a wonderful truth for the child of God. That is a wonderful thing that you can rest in. It's not for you to go and take vengeance. It's not for you to give judgment upon the unsaved, but God will do it. Now, the unsaved have to look out for themselves. Vengeance is theirs. They try and settle the score. But the psalmist doesn't say here, I will destroy my enemy. And he doesn't say, Lord, you will help me destroy them. But the Lord will deal with them. And the Lord will deal with all our enemies. What a wonderful privilege for the child of God to take your enemies to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, thou can deal with them. Perhaps you're in a workplace where people mock and they ridicule you. They make fun of you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The Lord will deal with the enemies of God's people. It's not for you to go and get vengeance. It's not for you and go to get retribution. But the Lord will do it. What a wonderful privilege for the child of God to be able to take even his enemies before the Lord in prayer. Then verse number 12 says, For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. And friend, only those who are in a personal relationship with God can know true spiritual blessing with the Lord. Even in difficult times, things that the world knows nothing of, walking with God, talking with God, peace in the midst of trouble. And then we come to verse number 8 and it says, Lead me, O Lord, and only those who are truly saved can be led of God. Only those who are in a relationship with God can truly follow the Savior. And this is for the child of God this morning. You see, as human beings, we have within our makeup the desire to be led. And born into this world, naturally, we're born in sin. And we're born following sin. Sin and pride and self and the devil. But as Christians, we're to be marked as following another. Following a different way. Following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what David prays for. Lead me, O Lord. You see, there are many voices in this world today, and they will tell us how to live, or how to raise your children, or how to work, or how to exist, how to find fulfillment. But Lord, I desire that thou wouldst lead me. I don't want the advice of man. I don't want the leadership of man, no matter how godly he is. I want thy leading, Lord. Thy leading alone. We thank God for godly people who will help us and teach us from the Word. But our desire is this, that the Lord will lead us. And that phrase, lead me, means to be guided or to be governed. Not only, Lord, will you lead me, but you'll govern my life that I might walk aright. Isn't that wonderful to think that the hand of the Lord is around you, guiding you and guarding you and governing you? And this is a mark for the child of God. It sets him apart from the world. If you're saved, you will desire to follow the Lord. You will desire to follow Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh yes, you may be tempted, but now you're saved, you don't give in to that temptation. You don't yield to that. You fight against it. You desire that the Lord would lead you. And God does, and God will lead his people. And as a result, their lives will be different from the unsaved. If you have two people and one's following after sin and self and one's following after Christ, friend, they'll be as different as day and night. And what a challenge to God's people, what a challenge to me this morning. We must be different from the world. And the only way we can be different is when we are following the leading of the Lord. And the first time that leading is mentioned in the Bible is the time when Abraham's servant said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Isn't that wonderful? I, being in the way, he was walking with God. And because he was being in the way of God, walking in the ways of God, the Lord led him to where he ought to be. And where was he led to? To the house of his master's brethren. And thinking about that, you know, if you follow the Lord will lead you into fellowship with his people. People of like precious faith. To brethren and sisters in Christ, you will be led by God, not to worldly friends, but to spiritual friends. Not to worldly places, but to spiritual places. And many will say, well, the Lord will lead us until we get to heaven. Do you know what? Even in heaven, the Lord will continue to lead us. Because in the book of Revelation 7:15, it says, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. They shall thirst no more. Neither shall the sun light on them or any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. One of the blessings even of heaven is that God will lead his people. And that blessing can even be realized here on earth today because God will lead his children. Now, how does God lead us? Well, in verse number 8 of chapter 5, it says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. In thy righteousness. Now, the word righteousness is from the same word from which we get the word tsekenu. Jehovah tsekenu, the Lord, my righteousness. And the thought here is of Christ. Lead me according to Christ. Lead me in Christ. Lead me through Christ. Lead me because of Christ. I can follow because of the strength of the Lord, because of his righteousness. The righteousness I have is a righteousness of another, and therefore I'm going to follow the Lord, being led in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could say, lead me, O Lord, in Christ. Help me to follow the Savior. That's what he's praying. Help me to follow Savior. And if I follow the Savior, then I'll be led by God. You know, that's an evidence of salvation because God's word says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That's an evidence you're saved. Not only that, but there's a result of following because Jesus said unto them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And if you're following the Lord, then God's word tells me that you will have a desire to see others won for Christ. You will have a desire to see souls saved. And if you don't have a desire to see souls saved and you're a child of God, then you're not following your master. Because you will follow his footsteps. And then in Matthew chapter 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And there the Lord gives the realities of following him. It's not always easy. There are crosses to bear. You do have to deny yourself. There are times when you have to step back and deny yourself something that you would have usually participated in. There is a cost to following the Lord. But hallelujah, there's great blessing. There's great blessing. And Psalm 25 and verse number 5, we read these words. Not only lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, but in Psalm 25 verse 5, he says, lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And you know, God guides his people through his word, through his truth. And every leading and guiding that God gives will be in complete agreement with his word. That's how we know it's the leading of God. It's in his word. It correlates with his word. It doesn't conflict with his word. How does God want me to live? Read the Bible and you'll find out. What type of friends does the Lord want me to have? Read the Bible and he'll lead you and show you. What should I do when I'm angry with someone and their actions? Read the Bible. God will lead you. How should I pray? How should I intercede with the Lord? Read the Bible. He'll show you. This is the book of guidance. This is one of the greatest battles that the child of God faces every day, opening the word. For Satan and hell will discourage you from opening the word. You'll be too busy, the phone will ring, something will come into your mind, you have to deal with this. But this is the secret to being led by God through his word. He has spoken, and therefore he will lead through his word. And that's exactly what we desire God's people to be, people who read the Word. And if you read the Word continually, then whenever circumstances come in your life, you'll know what the Word says. You'll know what decisions to make because God's Word will guide you. That's what the psalmist said. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Turn over to Psalm 27 and verse number 11. And it says here in verse number 11 of Psalm 27, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. And you know, the leading of God and the guidance that he gives is to be sought out with sincerity. And sometimes you find that whenever someone is saying, oh, it's so hard to know what God wants me to do, you'll find that they're not reading the Word. And when they go on to say, it's so hard to do what the Lord asked me to do, they're not living in fellowship with God. Because friend, if you're reading the Word, you will know what God's will is. And if you're living close to the Lord, you will delight to do his will. And could it be this morning that you don't know God's will because you are not reading the Word? Could it be this morning you're not obeying God's will because you're not walking in fellowship with him? God reveals his will to those who sincerely seek it and desire it. Psalm 43 in verse number 3. And that speaks to us then of a further aspect. Psalm 43 in verse number 3. It says, O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Again, through the Word and through the light, let them lead me onto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Now, the reference here is to Mount Zion, the place where God dwelt among his people. And then, of course, the tabernacles were the places that were set up for the worship of God. And what we're seeing here is this, God's truth will lead you into God's presence. It will lead you to God's people. It will lead you to the place where God is worshipped. And friend, if you're walking with the Lord, you will not be able to sit in a place that doesn't preach the gospel. And you'll not be able to sit in a place that preaches heresy. And you'll not be able to sit in a place that diminishes the things of God and gives them a second place. It'll not be possible. Not if you're reading the Word and you're being led by the Lord, because he leads you into good, godly, biblical worship. You see, personally, we need to be led to worship privately and in the public place and in prayer. And how sad it is whenever people say, I'm saved, and friend, they neglect the house of worship. They neglect the place of prayer. They don't think it's important to join with God's people. Well, God's Word tells me if you're walking with the Lord, you're following the leading of God, he leads you to the house of worship. Psalm 61 and verse number 2. And it says there, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And I'm reading the wrong chapter. Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Where will the Lord lead you to? Where will the scripture lead you to? When you follow God, where will you be led to? You're led to Christ. You'll be led to Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. In distress, he will bring comfort. In loneliness, he'll bring companionship. In confusion, he will be the truth. In joy, he will be the theme of our praise. In judgment, he will be our hiding place. We'll be hid in the cleft of the rock. And God's leading will always cause us to walk in the Savior's presence. God's leading will always cause us to walk in the Savior's presence. My final reference in the Psalms is Psalm 139. And you know it. It's Psalm 139, those familiar words, verse number 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And in this passage of God's Word, what we find is the secret or the great problem that often comes for the child of God following the Lord is the heart. It's the heart. The heart often is set and a wrong thing. So easily it can be caught away. The writer of the hymn said, oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. And then very honestly, he said these words, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. And you know, perhaps we honestly ought to come before the Lord and say these words, Lord, I'm prone to wander. Lord, there are times when I feel my affections and my heart wandering. But Lord, seal my heart. Bind it to Thee. Lord, may it have a direct link to heaven. A friend, this morning we need to evaluate where we are with the Lord. The first mention in Scripture said, I being in the way the Lord led me. Is that where you are this morning? Are you in the place where the Lord has led you to? Is that your testimony? Friend, we all need to pray, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me on. Lead me from this, Lord. Oh, Lord, help me to turn from it. Help me to put it under the blood and lead me on with thyself. You see, the simple question to God's people this morning is this. Are you walking in obedience to God? Or are you in disobedience? Are you following? Or are you lingering? Perhaps you once delighted to do God's will. Perhaps you once were found among God's people. You're being used of God. You have led people to the Savior. You prayed for people. And they're saved today because your prayers were answered. But like that character in Pilgrim's Progress, you wandered into Bypath Meadow. Other things have caught your sight. Instead of progressing, you're lingering. But God's word says, if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you read that passage, you'll find out why, that your joy may be full. Friend, if you're miserable this morning because of your disobedience, get back to the Lord. Follow Him. Follow His leading and follow His guidance. But notice the reasons why He prays for leadership. Why does He pray for guidance? It says there in Psalm 5 and verse number 8, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Because of mine enemies. You see, his enemies were real and they were around him. And he wanted wisdom to know how to proceed. You see, we have real enemies. They are around us. And thus, because of the real threat, he wanted to be led in truth and in righteousness. Now, the sports company Nike have a phrase or a slogan. And the slogan is, just do it. Just do it. Now, we know that that's referring to sport. And don't think about the pain or the effort it takes. Just do it. And excel in your chosen sport. But you know, they weren't the first person to use that. That's Satan's line. That's exactly what he's been saying from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Just do it. God said, thou shalt not, but he said, just do it. And that's exactly what he's continuing to say to people today. Just do it. That's what the enemy says. That's the message. Don't worry about the consequences. Don't worry about the pain. Don't worry about the judgment. If it feels right, just do it. You see, there's an enemy that's highlighted here. The Lord's highlighted, and there's enemies that are highlighted. And this morning in this meeting, you're either following the Lord or you're following Satan. You see, you are being led this morning. You are following a path. You are following someone this morning. And while David cries for leadership from the Lord, who are you following? Who are you following? I've heard people say, you know, if I was in the Garden of Eden, I wouldn't have taken the fruit. I wouldn't have destroyed that perfect place. I wouldn't have done those things. But friend, you are doing those things this morning. You're hearing the word of Satan. You're hearing the gospel according to Satan. Just do it and it'll work out okay. You're following in your sin. While God commands that you turn from your sin, you repent and you have faith in Him. You're continuing to follow Satan. And David cries because he knows the enemy is real. And even though he is a Christian, there's a possibility that the enemy could overcome him. He could be led astray. You see, in Jesus' time, Satan tempted the Lord in the wilderness. He still does that today. Satan still tempts God's people. That's a reality. We know what it is to be tempted. In Nehemiah's time, the enemies, Sanballat and Tobiah, they spoke discouragingly to the people of God. Tried to discourage them from going on with God. Building the wall. Oh, they tried to get them to come down, to cease from their zeal and their obedience. That's still being done today. Oh, Satan says, people, oh, would you wise up? Don't you be round about asking people to a mission. People think you're crazy. You don't need to go to the prayer meeting. That's only for those who are just too caught up in that. Friend, God's people need to listen to God today. and obey God's word, no matter how discouraging those around them are. In Daniel's time, his work colleagues went out of their way to find fault with him that he might stop being a witness among them. They went so far as to plan his very death, and that's still done today. Around this world, there are people who are being sought, their lives are being sought, because they're being faithful to the word of God. But what did these men do? They continued to be led by God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I delight to do thy will. He followed on his father's will. Nehemiah followed on. Daniel followed on. They knew victory and their enemies were defeated by the Lord in his own time. Not only that, but I believe that David was very aware that his enemies knew that he identified himself with the Lord. In fact, that's why he had enemies, because he was under God. He was one of God's people. And while David did fail in his lifetime, and while David did sin in his lifetime, I do believe that he sincerely desired that his Lord's name would not be brought into disrepute by his actions. And friend, that in itself ought to cause you as a child of God to follow very closely to your Savior. That you won't fall in sin, that your Lord's name would not be brought down and dragged through the mud. What an awful thing whenever someone says, I'm saved, and they live like the world, they live like the devil. That takes the name of the Lord, and that brings it down. And friend, we need to be very careful. We need to pray that the Lord would lead us, that we who bear his name, Christians, those who are saved by Christ, that we would not bring down his name, we would not dishonor his name, we would not dishonor his cause, because we're walking with him. We're following him. My friend, not only that, but he wanted to know God's way. Do you see what he says there? Make thy way. Thy way. Not my way. He didn't come with his own plans. He didn't come with his own conditions. Say, Lord, make my way right. Make my way straight. Make it work out the way I want it to. No, he said, Lord, make thy way. See, God has a plan for his children this morning. A specific plan. And we cannot trust our own human reasoning without laying it out for the Lord, asking his leading, and measure it according to Scripture. Because left by ourselves, we will follow in ignorance, and very often we'll follow in pride. We need to have the leading of God. You know, whenever Moses was growing up in Egypt, we're told in the New Testament that Moses had a knowledge that he was one day going to be the ones who would lead the children of Israel out of captivity. Whenever he saw the Egyptian smiting the Hebrew, he killed him. And at that time, Moses believed that he was going to start the freedom or the exodus of the children of Israel. Now that was God's plan to free the children, but it wasn't God's time. When Moses killed that man, he had not been led by the Lord to do it. He had not sought God's face to do it. In fact, he broke God's commandments to do it. And he had to wait for 40 years, 40 more years of preparation before God was able to use him mightily as a man of God to lead the children of Israel out. You see, he stepped ahead of God's plan and God's time. We need to be sure we're stepping in God's steps at God's time. And what did God teach him in that time? What did God teach him in the 40 years in the backside of the wilderness? He taught him meekness. In fact, that was one thing that marked Moses' life at the end of it. He was meek. A man of meekness. And you know, so often in our pride and our self-sufficiency, we move ahead of God. And you know what? We have to step back and say, I wish I'd listened. I wish I'd checked it. I wish I'd prayed. I wish I'd waited. Oh, may God give us the patience to wait on him. The third thought this morning is, to be led, you must do certain things. Because it says, lead me, O Lord. Lead me, O Lord. What things do you need to do to be led? Well, the first thing is this, very simple. You need to look at the leader. Your eyes must be upon the person who's leading you. You must look at them. And while you looked unto Jesus Christ for salvation, he said, look unto me and be ye saved. He also wants you to continue looking at him for progression. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Not only that, but you must imitate the leader. You know, whenever a guide is taking someone over dangerous or rough or difficult terrain, he'd say to them, walk exactly where I'm walking. Step where I'm stepping. Do exactly as I do. Why? Because he knows the safest way. He knows a way that will lead them safely through the danger and through the difficulty. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you. Follow me. Follow my compassion. Follow my love. Follow my holiness. And this morning he's asking you to imitate him. Now, not just to copy him, but through the power of the Holy Spirit to seek to live a life that is close to the Savior as you possibly can, as holy as you possibly can, as godly as you possibly can. To be led, you must look to the leader, you must imitate the leader. But the third thing is this, you must leave where you are. If somebody comes into a room and says, come, follow me, and you say, okay, I will. And they walk out of the room and you're still sitting there doing what you were doing when they come in. You're not following them. You're not following them. You need to leave where you are and actually get up and move as that person moves. You know, many of us have sung the hymn, he leadeth me, O blessed thought. O words with heavenly comfort rod. Whatever I do, where I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Now we've sung it. But here's the question, is it a reality in your life? It's easy to sing the words sometimes, but it's a different matter living them. To be led, friend, you must look. You must copy, and then you must leave where you are. And that's a wonderful truth, because if you follow Christ, he'll not leave you where you are. You'll go on. You'll progress in holiness. You'll progress in the desire of the things of God. You'll progress in service and usefulness from the Master. Final thought this morning is this, the blessings of following the Lord. You see, he says there, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. And that word straight, of course, it means straight and even, but it also has another meaning in the Hebrew. It is the idea of being made right, being made pleasant, and being made prosperous. You see, so often you'll get the doubt in your head, well, if I go through with God, I'll miss out some way. No, friend, if you go through with God, you'll have the blessing of God. The blessing of God that will give you peace that passeth understanding. Even in the difficult times, you'll prosper spiritually. Even whenever things are so difficult and you're in such distress that you don't know where to turn, friend, if you're with Christ and you're following him and you're clinging to him, then he will prosper your heart. That's a promise of God. You might be saying this morning, but you know what? I am going through a difficult time. I'm in this service this morning. I'm sick. I'm weary. I'm under great pressure. I'm unsure of the future. Why should I follow the Lord? Because he says in his word, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for thee. Friend, there are difficult times we have to go through. There are things that we have to face that we don't want to face, but you know what? The Lord never, ever desired we would face them alone. He will carry the burden. He will carry the burden. You will know his grace, his strength, his power, his voice. This is true prosperity. And friend, what a privilege whenever, even in the most difficult of circumstances, whenever the tears are falling from your face, you're able to open God's word and you're able to ask him to speak to you. And he does speak to you, and you hear words such as, it is I, be not afraid. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, may God give us strength to trust him even in the difficult times. This is what the hymn writer said. When I cannot understand God's leading, when I do not know the reason why he should choose the path that lies before me, still to him in faith I can reply, I will trust when I cannot see. When I'm faced with adversity and believe your will is always best for me, I will trust when I cannot see. When I feel the sting of disappointment and my dreams lie crumbled in the dust, my best adds up to loss and failure, and all the things that happen seem unjust. When I face the furnace of affliction and the pain seems more than I can bear, when I think it's strange, this fiery furnace, still I'll tell my blessed Lord in prayer, I will trust when I cannot see. When I'm faced with adversity and I believe your will is always best for me, I will trust when I cannot see. And friend, this morning he will lead you through every trial, temptation, fear, circumstance, decision, worry, attack of the enemy, and even through death. And how do I know that? Because God's word says, for this God is our God forever and ever. And he will be our guide even unto death. Friend, this morning, is he your guide? Is he your shepherd? Is he your savior? Is he your Lord? Are you wandering aimlessly toward hell? Come to him this morning. In faith and repentance, come to Christ. And let him lead you in the paths of righteousness to glory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee this morning. As God's people, sincerely, Lord, that thou hast not left us on our own. Lord, thou hast not told us to try and figure out the way. But Lord, thou hast promised, even as we sang this morning, I will guide thee with mine eye. Well, thank you, Lord, you know all about us. Thank you, Lord, you know the difficulties, you know the trials. Lord, you know those whose hearts are breaking this morning. And yet we thank thee, Lord, when we turn to thee and seek to follow thee in thy word and in the place of prayer. Oh, Lord, you command the blessing. We thank you, Lord, no temptation and no enemy of hell and no trial that we can go through can rob us of the blessing if we're clinging to Christ. And whatever it is this morning, Lord, I pray, we'll take our eyes and we'll gaze upon the Savior, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And writer said, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And we thank you, Lord, even this morning, you have made us at the point of our need. If there's one in this meeting and they're not following, oh Lord, save them, we pray. If there are those who are following afar off or they're still lingering, they once walked well, oh, bring them on, Lord, today. But we pray, Lord, believe this meeting this morning, being able to say, I will follow thee. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his eternal glory. Amen.